Wait.
Those are
wait,
wrong for
did
sure.
you
This could get
oh, I did it wrong already.
No, it sounds stupid.
Are you ready?
This could get awkward.
I think that was perfect. What episode is this?
This is episode 5 of This Could Get Awkward. I'm Sam.
You always make the intro so awkward. You try and make it like very grandiose.
Okay. I even like use my arms. I'm like, whoa.
No, it's okay. Let's just keep rolling. I'm Janelle.
Okay, I'm Sam. This could get awkward.
It just did. Anyways, we've got lots of ways for you to connect with us. We'd love to hear your awkward stories, and maybe one day we'll have some to share. If you ever email us at thiscouldgetawkwardpodcast@gmail.com, other social media.
You can Twitter us. You can tweet us at TCGA Podcast, or you can find us on Facebook at This Could Get Awkward. And we've got a website, thiscouldgetawkward.com.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to let you share this masterpiece of yours.
Okay. I remember this story from my childhood-ish, young adult, whatever. I was 16, I think, when this all happened. My sister and I, when we were kids, were forced to take piano lessons.
Isn't every kid?
I think every kid is forced to take lessons or do something that they like don't want to do. And to be fair, I'm so happy at this point in my life that I was forced to take piano lessons. Not that I play piano now, but I am into music and whatever. And
my mom always told me that the reason that she made all of us kids do it is that it somehow helps with your mathematical skills.
It does. It connects synapses in your brain that make you good at math or something like that.
All right.
Yeah. So like I obviously freaking hated it. And they weren't like casual, what do you want to play? Like pick a song you like and let's learn how to play it. It was like Royal Conservatory, super intense, grade levels, exams with robotic people who judge you harshly, and then like theory and whatever. It was intense and I loathed it. And my sister also loathed it. And we just always refused to practice. We never got any better. Like it took us a long time to progress because we hated it so much. And like there were fights that would break out between us and our parents over piano lessons. It was a mess. It was terrible. Everyone hated it. Nobody liked it.
So it was a big waste of money. Sounds like.
Okay. So my mom just always said like you have to get to grade 8. You have to pass grade 8 because that was like a milestone in Royal Conservatory land.
It is. Getting your grade 8 piano is a big deal.
It's a big deal. And so that was like you have to get to grade 8. So my sister, she's like older than me, so she got there first. She got there all the way. She's very just gifted and talented in general. So like despite her protests and hating taking these lessons, still plays beautifully. So like that all worked out well for her. Me, on the other hand, I was like younger. I still hated it and was just like wanted nothing more than to quit and not have to do it anymore. And my mom would never let me quit. So I went into my grade 7 Royal Conservatory piano exam and I failed it. I hadn't prepared enough. I didn't practice enough. I failed it. And I was so scared to like tell my mom I had failed or for her to find out. And then she was surprisingly like chill about it. That's okay. Like we'll try again, see how it goes. And I was like, okay. And then this plan kind of formed in my brain. Like if I fail again, maybe I get to quit. Maybe they are going to realize this is a waste of money.
Maybe they'll give up on me.
Maybe my parents will think I'm failure. They'll be like, she's not going to do this. Let's just let it go kind of a thing. So I was like, I'm going to fail intentionally on my second try at the grade 7 exam. And so you pick your pieces, whatever, like these are the songs I'm going to prepare for my exam. You have like different categories you have to pick from. For my study, I think it was, whichever one is more freestyle and you can pick a song you actually like. I picked the Harry Potter theme song.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. And I loved it. I loved so much that song that I practiced all of the time, but only the first page of this, like...
How many pages were there?
I feel like 5 or 6
oh
pages.
Oh, my gosh.
And so the first part, the like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, I nailed it. Could play that. I could probably still play
blind.
That right now.
You could probably play it blindfolded.
Yes. So I went to my, like, piano exam knowing, like... Keep in mind, I was not trying to pass, so I'm actually trying to fail this exam to prove to my parents that I suck enough to stop pouring money into this. So I go into my piano exam. My mom is there with me. She's being all supportive and like, tra-la-la-la-la. So I go into this super intense exam room where the examiner doesn't make eye contact or speak to you or like show emotion. It's so serious and so they're just there to judge you and that is it. So whatever, I do a listening test, a hearing test. You have to be able to distinguish a minor three or like major five or whatever. I don't know if those are even the right terms, but whatever. That was like the first part of the exam. I did well on that, fine. Kind of played okay on like one song, whatever. Wasn't trying my super hardest. So I get to the point where I'm playing the Harry Potter song and I start and I play beautifully and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm crushing this. Do 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 do, and then it gets to the next part. Do 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 do, and it's crazy chords. They're chunky. They change every second. It's really intense, and I didn't practice any of this, so I literally just start. I turn the page, and I just start mashing keys like. Mashing keys. It's obviously terrible.
I so badly wish this was a recital. Could you imagine if that was a piano recital?
Oh my gosh.
Like, and the look on your mother's face if she had heard it.
Oh my God. That'd be amazing. So I like mash a bunch of chords for a little bit and then I just stop playing and obviously abruptly stop and just put my hands on my lap, sit there. Don't know whether I'm going to like burst out laughing or like, do I cry? Like, this woman's showing no sign of emotion. It was like the most uncomfortable room. And I was just like, I know I failed, but like, I wanted to be like, I tried to fail, but it's all very uncomfortable. So anyways, she's like, okay, you can leave. So bye. Thanks so much for this great conversation. Like, it was so nice to meet you. Leave the room. And my mom's like, how'd it go? You know, I did my best, but I'm not sure. Like, we'll see what happens kind of a thing. And the plan totally worked because when we got the grades in the mail or whatever, and I failed, my mom was like, well, maybe we just move on to something else.
This is the second time you failed, Sam.
They
I don't think you're
so
any good at
nice
it.
About it, too.
Really?
Like, and they were always really strict about my grades in school and everything. And so they were just, you know, that's okay. Maybe we just stop with the piano lessons after years of asking. Protests and tears and like huge family fights. All it took was a double fail.
I am so happy that my parents gave up on me. So long before that, because all of my siblings and I took piano lessons. We actually had
condolences.
I know, right? And I can't even tell you. I think I maybe made it to grade three, barely. But we did the piano lessons. My sister is like, she's got her grade eight. She's the oldest, so she's the stellar daughter. Yeah. I mean, she did dance. She did like all of these other things.
You name it, she was. Great at it.
And she was great at
it. My sister too.
To this day, I don't know if she really plays piano all that much, but she's the only one who really successfully went through learning the piano. All the rest of us quickly failed out or just, I had no interest in it, but our parents still did it. And like you said, I'm likely grateful that, you know, I'm sure it helped my brain somehow.
I mean, it probably didn't hurt.
And I'm musical in a different way. Like I and so are all of my other siblings. I guess we started with piano and realized that wasn't our thing.
Yeah.
But I do have to mention where I took my piano lessons. Now, my sister took them offsite and like went to a piano teacher at her house or something like that. However, I know that my younger brother and I took piano lessons in our grade school. There was actually a teacher who had come to our grade school, and I believe it either happened during recess or like lunch or maybe possibly sometimes we got taken out of class and did lessons.
That's always a good time.
But there was no music room. Like, it was a very small school. So the piano room was this creepy closet.
Oh.
And it was like the craft closet. So it held all craft supplies. It was it was industrial in there and it was dark and dank. There was no window. It was just creepy.
What kind of piano were you playing?
A big wood one? I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know anything about pianos. So it's just like a standard regular piano.
It wasn't like a keyboard that you plug in. It was like an actual piano.
No, it was an actual piano. And so people would interrupt your piano lessons all the time because they'd be like coming in to get construction paper for art class. But it was also just like so weird. She was a very nice lady, I recall, but I just sucked at the piano. I was awful.
Okay, I just thought of something awkward.
All right.
Related to all this. Okay, so I, for like a hot second, took voice lessons. My voice teacher was this lovely woman. And I don't know how it came up, but for a period in my life that lasted too long for me to want to admit, I was truly tormented by the film The Ring.
That movie is so creepy.
It's very, very scary. And it, I, no joke, ruined my life. And so it was during this period of time where I couldn't sleep ever, was always waking my mom up or my sister up or someone to like just come sleep with me because I was just terrified of literally everything. So I was like telling her about this. I was probably 13 or 14. And I was telling my voice teacher about this. And then she like drops everything, puts her arm on my shoulder, tried to like exorcise me.
Like The Exorcist, you mean?
Yeah, like she tried to, she was like, she was trying to rid her of these dreams and this like hold demons and fear, like rid her of these whatever. And so well intentioned. But I was just standing there like really uncomfortable. And then when she was done, like it was like this huge, big, long speech, very dramatic, like rid this girl of her huge fears and let her sleep again and stuff. And then she was all done. And I was like, thank you.
Awkward.
Thanks. That's so nice of you. Like...
So you never went back for singing lessons after that, right?
I honestly, I know I didn't go to her for very long, so maybe that was the last encounter. It's really uncomfortable. You know, when you're like, hey, I'm scared of something and someone tries to call to the Lord and exercise it out of you.
No, that's never happened because that, like, that's not a regular occurrence.
Thank God. You know, it might have worked because I'm sure not that scared of that movie anymore.
Sure.
I'm not gonna lie, like if a surprise picture comes up in like an article I'm reading or whatever, like it does trigger like some chest pains, but
my gosh, that movie's so old.
And like I'm not kidding, ruined my life.
Moving on.
Yes, please.
All this talk about childhood is bringing up memories about how awkward it always was when we broke something in the house.
Oh, yeah.
And my brother and I were the worst for this. And the awkward part was trying to hide it from mom. and you knew as soon as she came home, she knew. She had like hawk eyes. She could decipher anything. And we weren't great children, particularly my brother and I. Like, there are way too many stories for me to tell you right now about how many things we broke and destroyed, but maybe it was my mom's fault for having so many breakable items.
I was thinking like her fault for having so many kids.
I have one parent in my corner. My dad was the one who taught me how to hot glue things back together.
Oh.
So
he recognized that you needed that skill.
He once actually helped my brother and I hot glue a clay pot back together, and it took my mom maybe a week to figure it out. We've hot glued candlesticks back together, but I think that there are
candlesticks just hot glue.
What?
I don't know.
Well, like
I feel
the candle,
like similar substances.
Candlestick holder, not the candle itself.
Go on.
But I think that there are two that stand out for me the most, two or three, and one being the day that my brother and I decided to play golf in the house. Yes, golf with real clubs.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, we made the course and you had to shoot the ball up the staircase because that makes sense.
This is an example of how brains don't develop like
until later in life. So we ended up hitting the wall with either the club or the golf ball itself, mm-hmm. and it chipped a little bit of the paint right at the corner. And so at the time, our house was what we thought was a painted white, but it was definitely not white. It was an off, off white
like
with a little cream and like.
White.
Mm-hmm. And my mom's a painter, so we dug into her craft supply kit and we're trying to like mix paint to cover it up. Meanwhile, there's an actual hunk of the wall missing. So a little bit of paint,
minor detail,
not going to cover that up. What we ended up doing was after we failed at painting it, we rested a book. We leaned a book up against it.
Classic.
Thinking that somehow, I mean, it saved us for a whole 30 seconds. She was not happy. I mean, there was bouncy balls that broke the chandelier that sits above my parents' kitchen table. And still to this day, my mom has not found the proper shade covers so that they're all matching.
Oh, no.
So that's thanks to me. And I have such a bad reputation that I don't even live at home anymore. And my mom still blames me. This happened like 2 years ago. At that point, I was just coming home occasionally on weekends. And my mom yelled at me about breaking something in the bathroom. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, I know you broke it. You broke it and then you turned it around so the broken part wasn't seen. It was just like this glass ornament or something like that that sat on in the bathroom on a shelf or something. And I was like, what are you talking about? Later come to find out my dad had smashed it.
Whoa.
Didn't want the wrath of my mother. Turned it around thinking she won't notice. And when he found out that my mom was blaming me for it, he did fess up.
Well, that's nice. I wish he hadn't. That would have been funnier.
I was like, Mom, I don't even live here anymore. And she's like, you're the one who broke everything in my house growing up. So I have that reputation and I don't think I'll ever live it down.
One time my mom found a knife that was like hidden behind a picture frame in the basement. And she was like, did you leave this knife down here? And I was like, no, why would I have like left a knife down there? And we still to this day don't know who put that knife down there. That's creepy.
That's real creepy.
This other time they were out of town. They came home, the like island in the kitchen, a chair was pulled out like as if someone had been sitting there. And there was a photo album open on the island. Nobody had been there. They lived there alone and they were gone. They came home and a photo album was like open, like someone had been sitting there flipping through their pictures.
It's either ghosts or your parents are losing their memory.
It's a ghost. Her name is Sadie and she lived in our house for a while.
Are you being serious right now?
Yeah, I am.
What?
I mean, obviously, I don't believe in it now, but like,
who told you that her name was Sadie and that she lived there? And what happened?
My mom thought her name was Sadie. So there's like a bunch of weird things that happened around the house. Just weird things that are, I'm sure, are explainable. But like, we were like, oh, it's a ghost. It's that ghost again. It's that ghost again. Like, it must have been her blaming anything weird on her. To the point where like we all super believed in her for a while. And then my mom one day was like, I think her name is Sadie. So we just started calling her Sadie. And she wasn't like, we didn't feel like that this ghost that obviously doesn't exist. We didn't feel like she was like mean or evil or anything like that. So it was fine.
But do you say that she doesn't exist because you don't believe in paranormal stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. Me either.
I like to like flirt with the idea of it and like give myself the creep sometimes. But at the end of the day, I don't believe in like ghosts and stuff.
Yeah, that sounded real confident. There's a little bit of hesitation there. I don't believe in ghosts.
If I don't believe in it, the girl from The Ring will never get me.
It's so interesting to hear you sound lacking confidence because you are one of the most confident people I've ever run into.
Oh, thanks.
And I mean it in the sense that you're so confident that you are willing to bet on literally anything that you say. I don't even know what to say because this story is just the most bogus thing I've ever heard. And the fact that you were this confident in this bet.
Which one?
The multiple bets that you've made with our boss, but particularly the one in which you believed you knew how and where grapes grew.
Yeah, I was super, super sure about it. Okay, context. So I travel often with our boss for work to our like other places we have to go, whatever. In these road trips, we talk about a lot of random and stupid crap. One time I said something like, yeah, like you're running around like a turkey with its head chopped off. And he was like, that's not a saying. And I was like, it's for sure a saying. I've said it a million times. You're running around like a turkey with your head chopped off. He was like, that's for sure not the saying. It's chicken. With your head cut off.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, no, no.
Like, minor details.
Whatever. Same shit. And so let's make a bet. What are we going to bet? We decided to bet just because we were arguing about chickens and turkeys. We decided to bet a rotisserie chicken. So,
which is the craziest. So it's like the weirdest thing ever.
The loser has to buy the winner a rotisserie chicken. Delicious. So I was like, for sure, I'll take that bet. Googled it. Turns out it is not turkey with your head chopped off. It is chicken with your head cut off. So I had to buy him a chicken.
And so became what's known as now the chicken bet. And anytime these two have a disagreement about anything, they bet a chicken.
Yeah.
On it.
Yeah.
How many chickens have you bought?
I've bought a lot of chickens. Most recently, this is the one I'm most embarrassed about.
And you should be. This is...
I said to myself, like, I'm going to, I lost a lot of chickens in a row. Let's be honest. I never got one.
You didn't get a single chicken?
I've never received a chicken. I've never been right. So I was like, okay, I'm going to stop betting on things unless I am like for sure, no doubt in my mind,
confident.
I'm right. So we were on a road trip, talking about stuff. I don't know how or why, but we were talking about grapes. And I said something about how grapes grow on trees. And he was like,
coming from the girl who drinks a lot of wine, so you'd at least assume she kind of knew a little bit about the substance.
So he's like, grapes for sure grow on vines. And I was like, no. I know. Like, I'm picturing this, like,
I've seen grape tree.
Like, I know for sure that grapes grow on trees. So I'm like, okay, we bet a chicken. I go to Google it. How do grapes grow? Obviously, it says vines. He's like, what does it say? And I was like, I'm not done Googling yet. So I'm Googling, can grapes grow on trees? And then finally, I'm like, okay, crap. Like, grapes grow on vines. And he was like,
have you ever been to a winery before?
Yeah, several.
Yeah. They're called vineyards.
Yes. And he was also like, so you heard it through the grapevine, like, means nothing to you. And I was like, oh my God. Like, as soon as I realize I'm wrong, I'm like, I'm so obviously wrong. But I was sure I was right, because there's a scene in Under the Tuscan Sun, which is a fabulous movie, where they are harvesting fruit from trees. And in my mind, I always thought that they were harvesting grapes because she bought this vineyard. And so I like go back to the movie to find the place. And what do you know? It's olives there. Olives grow on trees. Grapes grow on vineyards.
Reminder, Sam is slightly visually impaired.
Yeah, we can say that's why this happened. Thanks for that.
And on that note, if you ever want a free dinner, just bet Sam a chicken about anything.
It's gotten to the point where I'm like, okay, ask your wife, like, what night you guys would prefer to receive this chicken. How many times I fed their family, I'm not sure.
I still think you should have, you know, went back on the bet and somehow, you know, not gotten the rotisserie chicken, but got a different kind of chicken, or like a raw chicken, or like left a chicken on top of his car all day.
Yeah.
You know?
At this point, I just feel the bets that I lose, I deserve to owe someone a real chicken and like, yeah, just face up to the fact that I'm an idiot.
I think that's where we should end it.
Sounds great. Tell your friends about our podcast.
Yes, please do. We would love we'd love more listeners.
Pass it down through the grape tree. Send it on down the grape tree. Tell your friends about it. And I want to hear about your things that make you feel embarrassed so that I don't feel so alone. So tweet us at TCGA Podcast.
You can go to our Facebook page at This Could Get Awkward, or also email us at thiscouldgetawkwardpodcast@gmail.com. So tell your friends, bring them on back for next week's episode.
Thanks for hanging out.